Welcome back to Hashtag Health. In this episode, we will revisit our conversation with Dr. Heather Sylvester, a family physician with additional training in psychiatry and mental health based out of Stratford, Ontario.
So Stratford's a medium-sized city, around population of 30,000, just for people who aren't aware. But there's a large, like, rural area surrounding us.
Very large catchment.
Yes. And so do you think that we are well-equipped with the psychiatric care we have here to handle the large population size, or do you think that there's still more work that needs to be done? Do we need more help in this area as of right now?
Outpatient care. Okay. Outpatient care, say in a hospital setting, isn't just psychiatrists, it is psychiatric nurses, social workers, so on and so forth, providing care.
Yeah.
Is there care available to people? I would say probably yes, but I still suspect in terms of a psychiatric assessment, there's a long wait.
Mm-hmm.
So what's my answer? Could we use more psychiatrists? Sure. Absolutely, I'm sure at the hospital, we're fine doing mm-hmm. the mental health program. But where I find there is an issue is family docs, the number of family docs, right?
Mm-hmm.
People without family doctors, very tricky. They have to present to emerge. If you have a psychiatric illness, you know, to go and sit there and wait to get your prescription for your antidepressant,
that's
a real issue.
Yeah.
Right, so these folks are the ones that are, you know, most concerning. Very often, psychiatric patients who do have a family doctor, even if they're chronic and really quite sick, there are programs at the hospital that can care for these people. The what they call the ACT team that goes into the community and supports the sickest of the sick. Right, intensive case management or ICM team. But you've got to get referred in, right? And this mm-hmm. is usually through family doctors.
So everyone that you see would have a family doctor because they're coming from...
Now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I have one little caveat there,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
A couple of people that I was seeing at the hospital, 2018, gosh, time flies, who did not have a family doctor, because they didn't have a family doctor, I kept them on.
Yeah.
The other thing is, we've had two family doctors retire with the Stratford Family Health Team where I work currently, and I've kept those patients on as well. They don't have a family doctor.
That makes sense, yeah. So would you say, is it fair to say that maybe some of the people that require more intensive care, like, they're becoming inpatients at the hospital, maybe there's a lack of psychiatric care in that area? How many?
It's so hard for me to say,
yeah.
Sydney, because this waxes and wanes so much in
yeah.
terms of depending on how many psychiatrists there are, depending on the funding to the
True.
Hospital, which can change, right? Funding from the Ministry of Health is what I'm
yeah.
talking about.
No.
But, you know, I think, I will say this, with the community teams that the hospital has and are funded for, right, such as the ACT team that cares for very sick people, intensive case management, which is shorter care, but this is a team of very well-trained mental health folks who look after people for a short period of time, like when they've got out of hospital and they're recovering and they're struggling. Then we have seniors' mental health team there to provide
mm-hmm.
seniors care. Those things still exist,
mm-hmm.
right? But yeah, I'm sure there still is quite a backlog for psychiatric assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have in the community Choices for Change, which
mm-hmm.
you might be going to ask about for addictions and mental health, right?
Yeah, so most of the patients that you see probably aren't experiencing addiction. Are they more so streamlined?
Oh my goodness, that's not true.
No? Okay. I just wasn't sure if they would be streamlined to Choices for Change and the psychiatrist that works there, or if you also
no.
do see a lot of them.
So you asked, you know, we sort of talked before this, that really good question about concurrent
yes.
disorders, right? And I don't want to take you off your...
Oh, don't worry.
What you're doing. So concurrent disorders, right? So, you know, addiction and mental health together, mm-hmm. mental health diagnosis. Extremely common,
yeah.
right? Extremely common. And I think I mentioned cannabis use disorder, very common.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, a lot of people are on cannabis for various reasons, right? For
mm-hmm.
pain, sleep, so on and so forth. From a mental health perspective, cannabis not so good, right? Because if people have a tendency to be up and down, if they're using a lot of, in terms of their mood, which, you know, you add that cannabis in, you know, you get these real swings in mood and mood instability as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're trying to treat them with medication, and you're kind of fighting that.
It's hard to regulate it more because it's like a more of a loose variable in
exactly.
the equation.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we don't refer, meaning we the physicians don't refer to Choices for Change, only because Choices for Change, which is addictions counseling, for everything from substance use to gambling to, it's self-referred.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have the Canadian Mental Health Association, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, the Canadian Mental Health combined with Choices for Change, now they're just one big unit, and people can just go there and get their mental health support worker plus their addictions counselor.
Nice. So you would still see a lot, then it sounds like,
yeah,
of patients
yeah.
with...
Yeah, yeah. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge, most importantly for the patient, but it
mm-hmm.
can be a challenge to manage.
Yeah. And with the cannabis use, suggesting like cutting back or tapering, do patients respond well to that?
Do you know, I mean, terrific question. I mean, often how I put it is, you know, to a patient is, my job is to let you know what I think will help. You are totally in the driver's seat as to what you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
But I can only impart on you what I think isn't helping and what could help.
For sure.
I find usually with that approach, people, you know, some people it's the hand goes up, I'm not interested in talking about it. Okay, we won't. But I've let you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
No, that's great. So you mentioned Choices for Change. Is there any other like additional community resources that you refer patients to or make use of?
That's it.
Yeah.
It's quite a big organization. Now, when I was working at the hospital, there was a psychiatrist from the hospital who was doing assessments there as well. That might still be happening, but I don't know.
Do you think that patients are adequately referred from eMERGE after presenting for psychiatric emergencies? I know you're not working in that center
yeah,
anymore,
I'm,
but in your experience.
So the way it, sorry, and if you know, let's see if this answers your question. If not, let me know. So if a patient presents to emergency department here in Stratford with a mental health issue as their presenting problem, right? Most of the time, and the reason I'm saying most of the time is because I don't work there, but most of the time the way it worked is the emergency doc will do an assessment, someone from the Huron-Perth Crisis Program will be called, they will come to right to eMERGE and meet with the patient, right? And of course it's up to the emergency doc to decide, does this person need admission or not, that, right? But if they don't need admission, it's really great because the crisis worker will go meet with the patient and come up with resources, appointments, outpatient appointments with the psychiatry outpatient department, nurses, social workers. That sort of plan is all put in place before the patient leaves,
mm-hmm.
right? And in fact, my work with the crisis program when I was at the hospital involved doing crisis assessments. So if you presented to eMERGE but you didn't need admission, within the week I'd get you in to see you to see, oh, how is Sydney doing? What's happening? Make sure you're connected.
That's good to hear, especially when you said some patients don't have a family doctor, at least they can still have an appointment follow-up.
Yeah, very good point. And that's the purpose of the crisis worker, to coordinate that.
Mm-hmm.
So just to put a plug for Huron Perth Crisis Program, 24/7,
mm-hmm.
they can be contacted, and they can, I think they can now, since I've left the hospital, I think they can actually go to the patient home. Not sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can, you know, speak with the patient, arrange a time to meet them in eMERGE or in the outpatient department. So I think that's a real asset to have that.
For sure. 2023 Globe and Mail article said that London, Ontario's population of homeless individuals has reached 2,000, and that's double what it was prior to the pandemic. So we all know that, like, homelessness is often tied to addiction and mental health too. Unfortunately, people can't get the services they need, and this in combination with a lot of other factors can result in them living on the street. I wonder if you have noticed any homelessness, the impacts of homelessness or poverty on your patient population.
Yeah, so the short answer on my patient population,
yeah.
No. I mean, I've certainly, poverty, yes, but I'm focusing on homelessness for
yep.
the moment. Certainly in Stratford, you know, I'm sad to say we are seeing an increase in homeless
mm-hmm.
people, right? And particularly when the weather's like this, it's disturbing. I don't tend to see those people as patients, right? But the impact of poverty, yes.
Yeah.
And the use of food banks has really gone up. There are amazing services in places in town, like sort of like the local, which provides meals and delivers meals for
mm-hmm.
people. But the demand for these services has gone way up.
For sure.
And, you know, one of the things that I think I mentioned to you before is I'm finding people are using more of these quick cash places and then getting themselves into real trouble in terms of debt.
Yeah.
It's quite disturbing.
Yeah.
But they feel they have no option.
Yeah.
Because they're going to lose the place where they're living, or they can't put food in their
yeah.
cupboard. You know, psychiatry, mental health care, you know, it's really a remarkable quote specialty,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you have this opportunity to spend time with people, hear their stories, things they've never told anybody before,
mm-hmm.
and watch through their own work and effort, you know, get beyond some of the worst things that can happen to any of us,
yeah.
right? So the other thing is, you know, I've been in practice for, dare I even say, almost 40 years, and I still hear things that I've never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Hashtag Health. We'll see you back here next time.